Well, I've not been in this little part of North Carolina that I can recall, so I'm going to dust off an old favorite sermon of mine, and if you don't like it, we'll try again tomorrow and see if we can do better. I want to preach to you the entire Bible, start to finish. Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 4, Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read you a verse out of Hebrews chapter 11, and then we will pray together and get started and hope God to help me to help you, and he'll bless our hearts tonight. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. By it he being dead yet speaketh. Father, help me to honor your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to honor this word that you've given us. Lord, may we receive the truth from your word that it might work effectually in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Your Bible begins with a man in a perfect garden, in a perfect creation, married to the most beautiful woman on earth, had everything he needed, everything he could ever want. God gave them all of creation, told them to stay away from one tree, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you read Genesis chapter 1 over and over again, God looked at what he made and said it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. At the end of those 6 days of creation, God said everything he made was very good, very good. So the only thing that that man, that woman had to gain from eating of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil was the knowledge of evil. Everything they had was good. All they had to gain was bad, was consequences, was sorrow and sadness and death. And well, they ate that fruit. You know that. You know they ate of that tree. And here comes the Lord in the garden, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man. You say all you want. I'm not afraid of God. God showed up. That man hid. You say, I'm not worried about meeting God. That woman hid. And the Lord found him. And sure as the world, that man thought he was dead. Sure as you're sitting here, that woman thought she was dead. But God, by his grace, God, by his mercy, not willing that any should perish, having no pleasure at all in the death of the wicked, he should die. God told that man, you stand still and let me help you. He told that woman, you stand still, let me help you. And while they watched, God Almighty offered the blood of an innocent animal. Listen, that man didn't bring God an offering. God brought that man an offering. That woman didn't bring God an offering. God brought that woman an offering. I'm telling you what sets Christianity apart from every religion in the world. Every religion man has ever invented says, if you bring this to God, God will have you. This Bible begins from start to finish with God bringing a sacrificial offering to man and saying, if you'll receive what I brought you, I'll pardon your sin and save your soul. And that man stood there and watched as an animal that had not sinned, as a creature that had not disobeyed, as an entity that had not transgressed, was slain by the hand of God. And the first blood shed upon this earth was shed by God for man. And God brought a covering to that man and for his wife, and they walked out alive that day. Came to pass in the process of time, that man had a son, woman had a son, that man, woman had another son, one named Cain, one named Abel. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, read with me in verse number 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bears brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Nothing wrong with that. Honorable profession. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Nothing wrong with that. Honorable profession. Right. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He believes in the Lord. He worships the Lord. Right. He honors the Lord. Right. He brings an offering to the Lord. One thing he's lacking, faith. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse number 4 says, and Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and of the Lord. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. May I say to you, the Bible doesn't say that Cain was worse than Abel. Cain was more wicked than Abel. Cain had wandered farther than Abel. Cain had committed more sins than Abel. What the Bible says is the man that sinned and was covered, and the woman who sinned and was covered, Hebrews 11:4 says, they taught their sons what God had done for them. They told their children how God had spared their lives and made a way for them to live and made a covering for their transgression by the shedding of the blood of an animal. You say, what was it? Well, Abel brought a lamb by faith. I believe that as soon as sin entered the world, God came up with a remedy for that sin. From the very foundation of the world, God provided a way for sinners to be saved. It was by the blood of a lamb. You say, do you find that in Genesis 3 in the garden? No, I find it in Genesis 4 when Abel by faith, somebody told him. Yeah. Abel by faith, somebody gave him a report. Yeah. Abel by faith brought the blood of a lamb to Almighty God. God told Cain, I'm rejecting you because your offering's not right. Cain, Abel, I'm receiving you because your offering's the right offering. Brother, can I say to you tonight, it's not a question of what baptism you received. It's not a question of what church you joined. It's not a question of what sin you forsook. It's not a question of how much you've improved your life. God accepts one sacrifice, the blood of a lamb. The blood of a lamb. You come to God with your vegetables. They might be the nicest vegetables anybody ever grew. They might be the shiniest pumpkins and the prettiest squash and the most ripe tomatoes anybody's ever seen. But God's not looking for vegetables. He's looking for blood. God's not looking for you to come your way. He's not looking for you to come the way you think is best. He's looking for you to come the way He established. And the way He established was through the blood of a lamb. Praise the Lord. Well, time went on as it does. Come to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis 22. We've had a flood. We've had a tower at Babel. We've had the people scattered from one end of the earth to the other. And through all that time, the news has been passed from generation to generation, from father to son, from son to grandson. And the Bible says in chapter 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. A father is told to take a son, a beloved son, an only son, and offer that son in sacrifice upon a mountain. Verse number 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. May I say to you that that father knew long before he came to that mountain, he would offer his son in sacrifice there. There was a plan devised by God. There was a purpose determined by God. There was a place chosen by God. There was a death required by God. And a long way off, Abraham saw it. And he moved in that direction. And he moved in that direction. He must have thought it over. He must have had thoughts in his mind. My beloved son, my dear son, my miracle son, my gift from God, the inheritor of the promises. And yet on he went toward that mountain. On he went toward that mountain. On he went toward that mountain. And finally they reached the place of the sacrifice. In verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Amen. Somehow, some way, that man believed if he killed that boy, God would raise him from the dead. God said that son's going to inherit the promise. His son's son's going to inherit the promise. That boy's not married. That boy doesn't have a son. Well, God's either lying or God's going to raise my boy from the dead. And up they went. The Bible says in verse number 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, a knife, and they went both of them together. The father and the son walked together up that mountain. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Hundreds of years after Adam watched God slay an animal. Hundreds of years after Abel offered a sacrifice to God, the word has not disappeared. The truth has not vanished. It's not been lost. It's not been corrupted. It's not been forgotten. Abraham had trained his son from his youth up. If we're going to offer sacrifice to God, it's got to be the blood of a lamb. And Isaac knows that. Isaac said, Daddy, we got a knife. What good's a knife? Daddy, we got wood. Daddy, we got fire. We got to have something to kill. We got to have something to burn. We got to have some blood to shed. Now, how do you suppose it is that people say the gospel's gotten lost? The gospel's been so watered down you can't find it. The truth of the word of God's been so polluted for hundreds and hundreds of years without a written book in their hands. For hundreds and hundreds of years, without churches, without pastors, without printing presses, how is it we got all the way from Adam to Abel to Abraham, and that boy knows on the way up that mountain, we've got to have a lamb. God only accepts the blood of a lamb. Truth hadn't got lost. Truth hadn't got lost. Thank God. And Abraham said, my son, your English teacher's not going to agree with what I'm about to say. But God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, your teacher would have marked that wrong and said, no. God himself will provide a lamb. Well, that's true, but it's not true enough. What Abraham spoke is the absolute fact. Not only will God provide that day on that mountain a lamb, but God himself will one day be the provided lamb. But we get ahead of ourselves. And so the Bible says, verse 9, they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Don't you think, you know, Abraham's 100 years old when this boy is born. You don't think Isaac could have run away? Abraham's 100 years old when this boy's born. He's maybe what, 115 now, 120, 125. You don't think Isaac could have taken some of that wood and knocked him out? I'm telling you, that beloved son laid down his life in obedience to his father. What a blessing. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for burnt offering in the stead of his son. And the picture shifts. It's an amazing thing. When Abraham walked up that mountain, there's a full-grown male lamb there. He just didn't see it. When Abraham stacked that wood, there's a full-grown male lamb there. He just didn't see it. When that boy laid down upon that wood, when that man took that knife and raised it in his hand, no doubt with tears flowing down his face, the entire time this is going on, there's a full-grown male lamb right there. He just never saw it. Every time you went to that bar, there was a lamb right there. You just didn't see him. Every time you smoked that dope, there was a full-grown male lamb right there. You just didn't see it. Every time you said there's no hope, every time you said nobody loves me, every time you said there's nothing to live for, he was right there the whole time. And then one day, didn't the Lord one day just tap you on the shoulder and say, look over there. You don't have to die. There's a substitute. You don't have to die. There's someone here to take your place. Hallelujah. You got blackberries up here? We got blackberries in Florida. Up here, they're probably sweet. Down in Florida, everything's sour, bitter. But anyway, you see them. There they are, growing on the vine. And you go out with your bucket, with your offering bucket. and you pick those blackberries and put them in that bucket, and then you think, I'll just reach in there and get those big ones. And you reach in, and you get a few, and then there's some real big ones in there, and you reach way in, and then you find out. Those vines, they're full of little hooks. And you don't know it going in, but you find out coming out. They'll tear you all to pieces. That old ram, he just pushed in farther and farther and farther and farther, and now he's caught. He's stuck. He can't get out. You know what that means? When that man and his son, when they got that ram and pulled that ram out and laid it down upon that altar, it had thorns wrapped around its head. He's caught in a thicket by his horns. They pulled him out, and look, a full-grown lamb dying as a substitute with thorns wrapped around his brow. God's trying to show you something. He's trying to show you something. Abraham came down alive. Isaac came down alive. Why? Because a full-grown ram died in that boy's place. Praise God. Exodus chapter 12. Let's go there. Exodus chapter 12. You ever been in bondage? You ever been caught in something you can't get out of? You ever been trapped? Children of Israel, 430 years, they're down there in Egypt. Slaves, servants, lashes, whips, taskmasters. Verse 1, Exodus 12, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month should be unto you beginning of months. This day is going to be such a big day, we're going to change the whole calendar and start it with this. We're going to start the year with this. Speaking unto the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. Daddy needs a lamb. Mama needs a lamb. The children need a lamb. The cousins need a lamb. The neighbors need a lamb. The only way you're getting out of this bondage is the blood of a lamb. Bible says, verse 7, number 6, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, let me just jump ahead. Maybe you've guessed where we're going here. Do you know what day they crucified Jesus? The 14th day of the first month. You know who cried, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him? The whole congregation of Israel. That's not an accident. It's a coincidence, but it's not an accident. Two events coincide. The Bible says in verse number 7, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They should have flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They should eat it, eat not of it raw, nor sodden all with water, roast with fire, his head with the legs, pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing remain of it remain till the morning. That which remaineth of it till the morning, ye shall burn with fire. You know what? That sacrifice is going to be finished in one day. We're not going to do part today and part tomorrow. We're not going to part today, part the next day, part the day after that. Today, we're going to finish this sacrifice today. We're going to kill that lamb. We're going to take that blood. We're going to put that blood on the doorpost. And what happens? Verse 11, you're getting out. Verse 13, the blood should be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, don't you love that song? I will pass over you. Hey, you know who's looking for blood? Not Pharaoh. You know who's looking for blood? Not the town council. You know who's looking for blood? Not the religious leaders. God's looking for blood. God's looking for blood. He doesn't want to come by your house and see your baptism certificate. He don't want to come by your house and see your church membership. He don't want to come by your house and see your beads. He don't want to come by your house and see your lodge hat. He's looking for blood. God doesn't see the blood of a lamb. You're finished. I sing in the choir. Where's the blood? I'm a good person. Where's the blood? I joined this and I quit that. Where's the blood? God's looking for the blood of a lamb. And when he saw that blood, everybody lived. And when he didn't see blood, the firstborn in every house died. I'm telling you, this Bible says what makes the difference between life and death, bondage and freedom, is the blood of a lamb.
Amen.
Then God gave that law. God gave that law. Every single year, here they come. More lambs, more blood. More lambs, more blood. More lambs, more blood. What does Hebrews say? Never took away their sin. Covered, covered. Never took them away. Held back the judgment. Never took them away. Why? Because that lamb in the garden is a picture. That lamb that Abel brought is a picture. That ram that Isaac and Abraham offered is a picture. Those lambs on Passover night are a picture. All those lambs on those Jewish altars are a picture. But one day. Well, let me read it to you. Luke chapter 2. Your Bible's such a strange book. If God didn't write it, you couldn't explain how it came together. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Well, start verse number 7. Joseph and Mary, they've come to town because they got to pay their taxes. And there they are. And Bible says in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Amen. Of great joy, praise the Lord, which should be not just to Jews 2,000 years ago, but to Americans in North Carolina in 2024. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This should be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You know why Mary and Joseph didn't find any available rooms in the palace? Because the king wasn't coming. You know why they couldn't find any rooms in the mansion? Because the governor wasn't coming. That's next time. You know why they didn't find any room in the inn? Because a respectable citizen wasn't coming. Why do you think they ended up in a barn? Why do you think they ended up with that baby lying in a manger? Because Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Do you not think the angels could have come and got some fishermen and woke them up, say, "Get off the boat and go see this baby"? Could he not have roused some carpenters from their sleep and said, "Hey, go see this baby"? Couldn't he have got some tax collectors and some businessmen and say, "Hey, go see this baby"? Why did the Lord send the angels to shepherds and say, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David"? Well, who else would go and see a newborn lamb but shepherds? Those men had spent their entire lives watching little lambs born. And they walked in that manger that night, and they must have thought it strange. Where's the ram? Where's the ewe? There's a man here. There's a woman here. What's going on? And then the glory of God is shining, and they looked in that manger. And those shepherds bowed their knees. That's the most beautiful lamb I've ever seen. I have never seen anything in a manger like that before. There he is. There's the one we've been waiting for. There's the one that all the pictures pointed to. And what did he do? Just learn to walk. Learn to read. Learn to write. Went off down into Egypt for a while. Came back. Stayed in the temple. Mom and dad. Dad thought he was in the station wagon. Mom thought he was in the pickup truck. And they both went off and left. And there he was at church. We did that once with our kids. Anybody else ever done that? I thought you had them. Thought you had them. Well, we better go get them. Let's wait a while. Mary and Joseph found him there teaching the temple. And you know, that's all you know about Jesus for 30 years. One day, he's 12 years old. And the rest of the time, he's working at a carpenter's shop. So what are you doing? Working with his dad. Just like any other boy, except he never sinned. And then a wild man comes along. Old John the Baptist. John the Baptist had to preach in the open air because he didn't own a suit. Preaching out there in that Jordan River, wild man, baptizing people. Somebody said, John, where are you getting baptism in the Old Testament? He said, you want to get in the water or not? I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to tell you, get ready for the coming of the Messiah. And old John's preaching and baptizing and preaching and baptizing and preaching and baptizing. And one day he's standing out there preaching. He thought to himself, I hadn't felt like that since before I was born. Last time I felt that feeling, I was in water. I was in the water the last time I got that chill run up down my spine. John began to scan that shoreline. Don't you think he knew his first cousin? But he didn't know who he was. He'd seen him. He'd had meals with him. He'd spent time with him. They'd probably thrown a ball together, chopped down a tree together. Woo-hoo! Better listen. Old John standing there preaching one day, and he looked up in John chapter 1 and verse number 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Adam, there he is. Abel, there he is. Abraham, Isaac, there he is. Egyptians, Israelites, there he is. Priests at all your altars, there he is. Shepherds, he's full grown. There he is. The Lamb of God. He started a church, but that's not why he came. He lived a perfect life. That's not why he came. He taught wonderful things. That's not why he came. He worked miracles. That's not why he came. He came to take away your sin. He came to take away my sin. And without the shedding of blood, that sin can't be remitted. Without the shedding of blood, that sin can't be cleansed. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. But he didn't take away your sin when he taught the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't take away your sin when he fed the 5,000. He didn't take away your sin when he walked on that water. It was when he laid down his life and shed his blood and the Father. Well, let me show you. Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. It's right here in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, what a book. What a book. What a God. It's almost like he knew what he was going to do from the beginning. I'm so glad. Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Here's one sheep, the only sheep, that never went astray. We've all turned to our own way. Here's the one sheep, the only sheep, that said, I do always those things that please the Father. My wife and I got my parents and my wife's parents grew up on a farm. As soon as they could, they moved to town. We grew up in town. We got married. We thought, let's move out in the country, have a farm. Now, if you didn't grow up on a farm, that's a dumb thing to do. We didn't know what we were doing. We put up some fences. We got cows and we got chickens and we got turkeys and guineas and a goat. They're everything the Bible says they are. And we had all those animals, had a pig named Pork Chop, and one sheep. And you know when it's supper time, it don't matter where that cow is, he will find that barn. When it's sleeping time, it doesn't matter where those chickens have gone, they will find that roost. It doesn't matter how you lock that feed room, come nighttime, that goat will be in there, turn over feed bags. That sheep, not one time did it ever make it home by itself. When the Lord said you're like a sheep that's gone astray, You know what he's telling you? You ain't getting home on your own. You will not find your way home. Our house sits here. We got a driveway about 300 feet long and then the road, and there's barbed wire fence on both sides of the driveway. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. That sheep would stand in the road looking at the house, hollering for somebody to come get it. It could not figure out how to walk down the driveway with a fence on either side and you standing there on the porch. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody came after lost sheep? If he'd have said, find your way home, one way is as good as another, choose the best road, you'd have never got there. But here he comes. And he took your place, crowned with thorns, voluntarily laying down his life. The Father offers the Son in sacrifice. That's what Isaiah 53 says. And then listen, this is scripture. As many as received him. That's not you bringing God an offering. That's God bringing you an offering. As many as received him. Here is the Son that I slew for you. Here is the blood that he shed for you. Will you receive my gift of salvation? If you'll take it, he'll save your soul. If you try to do that Cain thing, you'll never make it. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? That God would love sinners so much. Not only he'd make a way of salvation, but that he would make his Son that way of salvation. Well, how's the Bible end up? I told you we'd preach it all. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter number 5. Old John's transported to heaven. The church is complete. They've gone in through the door. And we get a little glimpse into the throne room of glory. The Bible says in Revelation 5 and verse 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I shouldn't get off track now, but I'm going to get off track. The world isn't killing camp meetings. The devil isn't killing camp meetings. The government's not shutting down our churches. I'm going to tell you something. In that book of Revelation, God gives you the exact number of days, the exact number of months, the exact number of years. He measures the city and tells you exactly how long it is. He tells you how many gates there are, how many witnesses there are, how many months they testify, how many people die in this plague and that plague and this judgment and that judgment. And when he gets to the number of saved people in heaven, he says it's just a whole lot. Why didn't he give you the exact number? Because John Calvin didn't have it right. You want to get in on this? You can get in on it. You want to be saved? You can be saved. Jesus didn't die for some people. Died for the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. I saw a fella had a t-shirt with John Calvin's picture on it. Said, some lives matter. Brother, that lamb didn't die for two of your kids and have two of them born to go to hell. No, you're not gonna lift up your eyes in hell and blame God. He sent his Son to shed his blood and die for you. He's not willing that any should perish. Praise the Lord. You let that get in a camp meeting, you let that get in your church, you may as well shut her down. Where were we? Oh, yeah, around the throne of God. How many people are there? Well, let's count them again. Around the throne were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's just a whole lot of zeros. Saying with a loud voice, worthy are the Baptists. Oh, no, wait. Worthy is the Pope. Hail Mary. Everybody there is around the throne. Nobody there's by the water. Nobody there's by the trees. Nobody there's taking pictures with their cell phone of the gold streets and the gates of pearl. They're all around the throne. And they're all saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You know where sin entered the world? In that garden. You know what God did to take care of it? He shed innocent blood. What did Abel know? It was the blood of a lamb. What did Abraham know? It was the blood of a lamb. What did Moses know? It was the blood of the lamb. What did the law teach? It was the blood of the lamb. What did John the Baptist declare? There he is. And on that cross, the sinless substitute shed his blood to die for you. I know, I'm not trying to throw a damper on your favorite song, but you get to heaven, if you see mom, it'll be because you bumped into her around the throne. You're not going to go to heaven and say, where's daddy? You're going to go to heaven and say, get me to that lamb. Get me to that lamb. And they'll, if they're saved, they'll be there. But it won't be you over here with your family and you over here with your family. We'll all be around that throne. Because we will know like we've never known. We will understand like we've never understood. There is nothing got me here but the blood of that lamb. There is nothing got me here but that Savior willing to die for me. Hallelujah. I tell you, we need to sing about that blood more often. We need to preach about that blood more often. We need to tell sinners about that blood more often. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what this book is about from start to finish? God's sacrifice for you. God's offer of a pardon for you. Don't miss it. A lot of kings in there, a lot of laws in there, a lot of rules in there, a lot of commandments in there. But the theme of this book from start to finish is behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Father, thank you.